So by applause, would you help me welcome all of our campuses and all of our guests that are joining us all over in the different campuses and online. Would you do that? Just a huge round of applause. One more, Beaver Creek, that is actually meeting right now in the Centerville campus on the student building way over to the left here at the Centerville campus. They got three more weeks and then they move into the high school, and so we're excited about that. Would you just encourage them with another round of applause as they got three more weeks and then they launch. Here we go. I want to recognize that February is Black History Month, and in this month we get to celebrate 150-year anniversary of the 15th Amendment, the right to vote. And as a church, we want you to know that we want to be an ethnically diverse church, and so we want to celebrate that here at Fairhaven Church. We also want to tell you that if you are from an Asian background, Happy New Year. This is the end. Today, actually, is the end of Chinese New Year's, and so they have a little different calendar, and so Happy New Year to those of you that have a Chinese background. We're glad to have you as a part of the church family as well. Grab your Bibles with me in all of our campuses. There's Bibles everywhere. If you didn't bring one, we will give you one. There's one probably right in front of you or below you, but you can power up your devices as well. We're going to be in Hebrews today, and I'll tell you exactly where in Hebrews in just a little bit, which might be a little bit hard when you're powering a device up, but Hebrews nonetheless. We're in this series, week four of a series that we're entitling, This is God's Will. And just the title alone, I don't know about you, but draws me in. Because I think every one of us, I don't think you'd be here or any one of our campuses or joining us online, some of you across the globe actually, I don't think you would be here with us if you weren't at some level interested at who God is and what He would like of you so that you can follow His will. This is God's will. I want to know that in my own life. I remember when I was dating Kathy, and we were excited about, you know, getting together, and we were talking about marriage, and I was trying to convince her that it was God's will. And so I said to her, I said, this is God's will. In fact, it's in the Bible. I mean, it's actually in the Bible. And so if you're dating and you're trying to convince somebody to marry you, you need to look for your verse in the Bible, right? I had it. And so I said to her, you need to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. And if you read that Bible, I think God will speak to you very, very clearly. In fact, here's the verse. I don't know if you've read it before. It says this, then Nathan said to Daniel, you are the man. Actually, that didn't happen. I didn't actually tell her to go read that at all. I begged her, would you please marry me? And I'm so grateful. 32 years later, here we are married. And so you may be looking for God's will in your life. But what we've discovered is that talking and thinking about God's will is not really just about a car you buy or a house you buy or maybe even a spouse, even though God wants to guide you and lead you there. It's something far better than that. Even though it's not very mysterious, as we've been looking at different places and different ways that we've experienced, we said this as we began this series, that really as we talk about God's will, God's desire is lordship, much more than just giving you advice. God wants you to be into a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, and in that relationship through Jesus Christ, He wants you to give Him your life and to surrender your life and to give Him the lordship of your life far more than just giving you advice as to, you know, what to do, where to go, what career, what car, all those kinds of things. He does want to give us advice, but far better, He wants us to experience lordship in our life for Him, and so that's why we're in this series. And as we talk about God's will is not about a behavior modification plan. This is not about us talking about our behavior and saying, here's what God's plan for you is, that you follow this big list of things, that you can open up the Bible and, you know, you should follow this list. And if you follow this list, then you really have got your arms around God's will. That's not it at all. This series really is intended to be about heart transformation. And when you experience heart transformation, here's what I know because I've experienced it in my own life, that when you experience heart transformation, it does in fact modify your behavior, right? Part of what the writer of Hebrews is going to say to us in chapter 10, even though we're not going to read that paragraph, he says to us that if you're a follower of Jesus, it ought to be evident in your behavior. And if it's not evident in your behavior, that calls into question whether you really want to be a follower or are a follower of Jesus Christ. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, then it should be displayed in your behavior. And so he talks about that back and forth. And it's really important for us to think about that. So as we talk about God's will, as we are in search of God's will, this is not a behavior modification plan. This is about your heart and my heart being transformed in a way that you and I can live out our lives for Him every day. What I want to do with you today in Hebrews chapter 10 is I want to talk about two things that the writer of Hebrews talks about. And I want to tell you right up front that if you get these two things and you begin to live them out tomorrow, like you can get up tomorrow morning and have a game plan, a brand new game plan for your life. And if you consider these two things, which in the Bible tells us this is what God's will is for your life. These two things, if you do these two things, you will grow in your faith. If you don't do these two things, your faith will shrink. If you do these two things, you'll experience God in a whole different way. If you don't have these two things in your life, you will drift from God and perhaps even be kind of dead in your walk and apathetic in your faith walk and your journey. And so that's why this is so important. I'm glad you're here. And so if you remember these two things, you've gotten the whole message that I believe the writer of Hebrews is letting us know as we read it in chapter 10. It's these two things here. Make sure you catch this: endurance and patience. If you are a person of endurance and patience, you'll understand God's will, because this is God's will for your life. It is God's will for you to live with endurance in your life and to live with patience in your life. And there's a variety of reasons for that that we'll discover as we read in Hebrews chapter 10. So here it is. If your Bibles are open, Hebrews chapter 10, let's pick it up in verse 19, and I'm going to read it for you. And then I'm going to ask you to take your pens and circle or highlight in your Bibles, or on your devices, you can just highlight them, because there's some interesting things that the writer of Hebrews says as we read this. First word right out of his mouth in verse 19 is this: therefore, which means that he just finished a conversation and he's going to start another conversation. See, our Bibles didn't start out with numbers and chapters and headings and all that. It was just one thought pattern, right? And so the writer of Hebrews here just finished talking about the fact that Jesus made all the sacrifice for you and for me. And based on that, if you want to live out your faith in a way that makes sense and follows God's will, you're going to understand endurance and you're going to understand patience, because it's going to impact your faith. And if you know anything at all about the Bible, if you were to slip into the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, which many of you know if you've attended church for any length of time, is kind of the hall of faith. It's a chapter about a bunch of people who live their lives full of faith. And it's not by accident that the writer of Hebrews talks about endurance and patience and then gets to chapter 11 and says, this guy did it and she did it and he did it and she did it and all these people that lived out their life based on endurance and patience, which made their faith really strong. What would it be like if you and I understood that? And so that's why he starts out, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore. Let's read on. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in the original language, that's implied, by the way. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence. Now, I want you to notice that the writer of Hebrews is going to use the phrase, we have, twice. Watch as I read it. You might want to underline it, because we'll come back to it, because it describes patience. And then you'll also notice as I read these verses that the writer of Hebrews uses this phrase, let us, three times. So he'll say, we have, twice, and he'll say, let us, three times. And all of these five statements he makes will help us to understand how can we be people of patience. That's the first paragraph. The second paragraph is going to be all about endurance. So let me read it. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since We have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, there's the second one, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. And what do your Bibles say? In what? In faith, of faith, rather. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is... What do your Bibles say, church? Say it loud, all across our campuses and online. Say, what is it?
Faithful.
That's worth coming to church for right there. That we serve a faithful God who wants us to live with endurance and patience. Verse 24, and let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, you notice the word day there in Hebrews is capital D. He's referring to heaven. He's referring to when Jesus comes back. He's referring to the second Advent. That's why it's Christmas. We celebrate Advent. We celebrate that Jesus came as a baby. But really, we often don't celebrate that he's coming back again. Both of those are part of the Advent. And so that's talked about right there. Skip verses 26 and that whole paragraph there, because again, the writer of Hebrews is saying, so if you want to be patient, that ought to be evident in your life, because if you're a follower, then it ought to be evident. If it's not evident, then you got a problem, okay? And so drop down to verse 32, because the second paragraph has to deal with endurance. You with me, church? Verse 32. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, that's not some Buddhist term or some New Age term. In fact, in the original language, it means when you experience the light of Jesus. That's what that word means. So, but the recall of the former days after you were enlightened and you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plunderings of your property, since you knew that you yourself had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Now, I want to stop right there. I want to focus in on that one verse, and then we're going to unpack all the verses that we just read. And this is what the writer of Hebrews says. For you have need of endurance. And then he explains it. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, it is God's will that you live with endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Meaning, when you receive what you've been waiting for. Meaning, patience. You see it there in that verse? So the writer of Hebrews is saying it's the will of God for you to live with endurance and to live with patience. And so I just want to make it very, very clear. It is God's will that you have endurance, and it's God's will that you live with patience in your life. And then he begins to explain it. But let me try to put some words around a definition that might help us before we dive in and look carefully at how do we live with endurance, and what does it look like for us to be people of patience? First thing I would say about endurance is this. Endurance is the very proof of our spiritual reality. That if you live with endurance, it's going to prove that God is who he says he is in your life. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that, and so we're going to look at that in just a second. But that's the proof. So when you live with endurance, that proves that your faith is real. That proves that you are a person that desires to do the will of God. This is God's will for you. On patience, on the other hand, patience is the hope of our spiritual reality. And so that's why he mentions both of them, endurance and patience, because endurance is the proof and patience is the hope for us. Now, why does the writer of Hebrews mention these two things, and why am I going so far in saying that you really got to think this through, as I've got to think this through? Why are these two things so very important? Why is endurance so important? And why is patience so important? Well, let me tell you. Because if you go to the New Testament in the Gospel of John, this is what Jesus says. Jesus says that the thief, or the enemy of your soul, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The reason the writer of Hebrews is saying, pay attention to your endurance, pay attention to patience in your life, because it's his will for you. The reason he's saying that is because the enemy of your life wants you to give in. Or maybe another way of saying that is for you to have a lack of endurance, just to give in. You know, my guess is that in a audience this size and all of our campuses and even those of you that are online, there may be some of us that have come today and we're saying to ourselves, you know what, I'm going to give it one more shot. I'm going to give it one more shot. And I would say to you, we would say to you, don't give in. Don't give in. The message that God wants for you today is to hang in there. Stay in it. Endurance is God's will for your life. But the second thing the enemy wants to do is he wants you to give up. And giving up is a lack of patience. Well, you're tired of waiting for God to answer a prayer. You're tired of waiting for God to see something done in one of your sons or daughters' lives. You're tired of waiting for what the next thing is. You're tired of waiting for a spouse. You're tired of school. You're tired of whatever it might be, and you just want to give up. And maybe you came here this weekend, and you're like, I don't know, I'm going to give it one more shot because I'm just ready to give this whole thing up. I'm going to do life my way, and I'm just ready to give it up. And God's saying to us today, my will for you is that you're a person of endurance and patience. Because to give up is just a lack of patience in your life. And so what I want to do with you is I want to look again carefully at Hebrews chapter 10, because in here, the writer of Hebrews tells us why endurance is so important. Three things he gives us. I don't know if you want to jot these down or you can download them from the internet, but three things that he tells us as to why endurance is so important. Why it is God's will for you to endure and to live a life of endurance in your life. Three reasons why the writer of Hebrews, and he tells us right here in the verses that I just read. Let's take a look at it and let's see if we can unpack it. Here's the first one. The reason we should endure is because of suffering. Now, this is really important. Watch this. God is not saying you ought to endure in suffering. What the writer of Hebrews is saying is that you endure with God as you suffer. Did you catch that? See, he's not saying you endure in suffering. He's saying that you endure with God as you suffer. Do I need to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever suffered in your life? I don't think I need to do that, because I think every one of us has suffered in some way, in some capacity, whether it's with our health, whether it's physically, whether it's relationally, emotionally. Maybe you're in transition, and that brings a whole nother kind of, you know, suffering in our lives, because transition means that we're in unknown territory and waters. It might be that you have a constant struggle that you battle with all the time. It might be a particular person that you're dealing with. It might be a group of people that you're dealing with. We all have different struggles, and I wish that I could, in this short amount of time, address struggle so that you would have no more questions about it. That's impossible. There are books and volumes written about suffering. Here's what I would simply say to you. Life is unfair. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. I mean, it's just unfair. And the reality is you're going to experience suffering, and I'm going to experience suffering in our lives. And as we go through suffering in our lives, the writer of Hebrews wants to make sure that we understand how to deal with suffering in our lives. Now, since I can't address the issue completely, because there's other things that the writer of Hebrews says here, suffering is just one of them, let me give you two books. You can jot this down. If you're in suffering and you're asking the question why, and the question why is just killing you, and the truth is, church, let me just be really honest with you. I've had several moments in my life, and I've told you many about the stories. If you're a guest, you don't know, but I've told many stories about some of the things that my wife and I've experienced in our life and with our kids and with one son particularly and other things. And the question why comes up all the time. And I think on this side of heaven, I don't think we're going to know the answers. I just don't think we'll know the answers. And that's why I think God's will for us is that we endure and that we walk with Him as we struggle. And when we do that, that changes everything in our lives. And so it's so important that we get this as we're thinking through it. Let me give you two books. The first one is by Timothy Keller. The book is called Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. So if you're suffering or you know somebody that's suffering, buy them that book and give it to them. Timothy Keller, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. The second one's a little older, but it's just as good. It's by C.S. Lewis. It's called The Problem of Pain. The Problem of Pain by C.S. Lewis. They're both great books. But here's why the writer of Hebrews tells us that we need to endure because of suffering in our lives. Watch this. This is amazing. Because when it comes to suffering, suffering does something to us if we're not very, very careful. Watch this. See, suffering can bring us from indifference towards God to anger towards God. And here's the reason why. Because we are not indifferent of pain. So if you're indifferent in your walk with God, meaning you're just kind of hoping to get by and you want a little bit of Jesus in your life, but you're not sure that you want Him all the time and you're not sure you want to surrender everything to Him, you might be indifferent in your faith, but let me tell you how I know the difference. As soon as you experience suffering in your life, your indifference is going to bring you toward anger toward God, because none of us are indifferent to pain. None of us. And so that's why this is so important as we're talking about this in our lives. Let me say it this way. Suffering can move us toward God. Have you noticed that if you've suffered in your life and you've been through it for a number of weeks, number of years, that it can actually move you toward God rather than away? Have you noticed that? My wife and I have noticed that. Did you know that suffering actually awakens in your soul and in mine the fact that we try to do life on our own? We want to be self-sufficient. And suffering awakens that. And I think God uses that in our lives to say, trust me, because suffering awakens that. Here's something else that I have learned in suffering. Suffering confirms that we're not in control and never have been. Right? It's amazing when we experience suffering in our lives. Suffering can pull you, can pull me into a much deeper experience with God if we allow it. Because the truth is, we're going to suffer. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says it's so important that we understand. Here's the second thing, if you're jotting it down. Endurance, we need to have endurance. It's God's will for you because you make bad decisions. I make bad decisions. And others make bad decisions. I make bad decisions, you make bad decisions, and the consequences of that are so difficult in our lives. And it's amazing, because as the writer of Hebrews says, he says this, look at verse 33. He says, sometimes being exposed to reproach publicly and affliction, and sometimes being partnered with those so treated. Meaning, he's saying sometimes you've been confronted with bad decisions you've made, and sometimes you've been confronted with bad decisions that other people have made. And yet the writer of Hebrews is saying, what God desires, what God's will is that you and I endure. I put a little formula together. I don't know if it'll help you, but it helped me. So let me just give it to you. Here's the formula that I wrote down. Consequences, by either choices you've made or choices somebody else has made. Consequences plus endurance. And in there, endurance is confession and forgiveness. So consequences plus endurance, forgiveness and confession, equals, ready for this? Healing and freedom. That's incredible. It's no wonder that God says, be people who endure. Because when you take the consequences of your life because of decisions that you've made or other people have made, and you add confession and forgiveness to it, you know what you get? You get freedom and you get healing in your life. And that's exactly why the writer of Hebrews says that this is one of the reasons why we need to endure. There's a third reason, and then we'll get to patience. And the third reason is this, because of the experience of loss. Now, some of you are like, well, they look all the same to me. Well, they kind of are, right? I mean, all of it's suffering. But loss is a little bit different than suffering, and loss is a little bit different than decisions, because some of us have lost spouses, we've lost kids, we've lost an account, we've lost things in our lives. We lose things, and we experience loss, and it's very, very painful. And the way the writer of Hebrews says it is in verse 34, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. Now, that's like an oxymoron to me. Like, you joyfully accepted that somebody took something from you. Really? You joyfully accepted the plundering of your possessions since, here's why, since you knew that you yourself had a better possession in the one abiding in you. Wow. No wonder God calls us to endurance, because we all experience loss in our life. And see, loss plus endurance equals patience. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that patience is important as well. So go back to the first paragraph that we read, because I want you to notice all the phrases that are there. The phrases that he uses where he says, we have, and then let us. Remember those phrases? Because that describes for us patience in our lives. How can you be a patient person? How many of you, by the way, know impatient people? Can I just see your hand? Just raise them up high. If you know an impatient person, and if you're sitting next to them, raise it up just a little bit higher. Can I just a little bit? I'm looking around. Wow. Okay, these are all the people that you got to watch out in the parking lot and all of our campuses, right? The impatient people. The truth is, all of us are impatient at some level, right? It's absolutely amazing, impatience. So here's what we need to learn here as the writer of Hebrews talks to us about patience. So you may want to write this down, because this is what endurance looks like. We need to endure because of these three things. But let's talk about patience for a minute, okay? And the reason or how you can become patient is this. You can become patient by understanding what God supplies for you. Do you know that God supplies you with some things? Meaning he gives you things in order to get through life. And the writer of Hebrews writes it down for us in two phrases. We have, let's look at it. We have, verse 19, we have confidence to enter the holy place. You know what the writer of Hebrews is saying? You have full access to God anytime, anywhere. God supplies that for you. That's pretty incredible. I called my family physician, who I've known for 22 years. I mean, ever since I moved to Dayton, he's been my family physician. Great guy, like the guy. He's a good doctor, very good doctor. And I called late fall, and I said, I need to get in to see you. I got to get my physical. And it took me 3.5, almost 4 months to get in to see him. He's a busy guy. And I get that. You probably get that. If you're a doctor, you understand, because you got, you know, patients and schedule, and then you add to that vacation. It took me 3.5, 4 months to get in there. And I just saw him not too long ago, and I sat down, and he took my blood pressure, and he did all kinds of things. And then he looks at me, and he says, you look great. You look great. However, I think you need to lose 35 pounds, and I'm a little worried about your blood pressure and the cholesterol thing. We got to talk about the cholesterol thing. And I says, well, is having a Chick-fil-A ice cream cone every day a problem? And he said, yeah, probably. You know, I waited 3.5 months to tell him, for him to tell me that I'm overweight and I got a problem, right? Thank goodness with God, here's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. You have full access all the time. Right now. In your life. But he has another phrase. Look at verse 21. We have a great priest over the house of God. What the writer of Hebrews is saying here is this. Here's what God is supplying for you. Don't miss this. God is supplying an advocate for you who will make things good. God can take all of the suffering and all the decisions and all the loss that we have in our lives, and if we're patient, which is really hard, here's what God will supply for you. The opportunity to connect with him anytime you want, and an advocate in Jesus Christ who will make things good for you. That's amazing. That's a God that loves us. Well, that's the first way that we experience patience. If you're jotting this down, here's a second way. The patience happens by the remedies that God gives. He gives supplies for us, but he also gives us some remedies. And there's the phrases where it says, let us, let us. Don't miss it. It's right there. In fact, you probably ought to study it a little bit more, because I'm just giving you 25, 30 minutes of this. But you ought to study this, because God supplies us with some pretty amazing things. And then he gives us the remedies towards impatience. You want to know the remedies towards impatience? He tells us in three statements. Let us, let us. Oh, here it is. Let's take a look at it. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart. You know what happens when you draw near to God? You realize that God means what he says. That's a remedy to impatience. For you to be able to connect with God, and for you to realize that God means what he says, and you can walk away and go, okay, I can wait a little longer, because I know God means what he says. His promises are true. He loves me. My identity is found in who I am with him, not my career, not my job, not my wife, not my husband, you know, not being single, whatever it might be for you. You begin to realize in your life that it's far better than that, that you can simply know as you draw near to him, because it's one of the remedies for you, that that God for you means what he says. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Look at verse 23. See it there? It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Let us hold fast. You know what I find really interesting is that when I watch people in my life, and I could give you names if you want, when I watch people in life where they go through suffering, or they've made bad decisions, or they've experienced loss, and yet they clearly trust God, clearly are enduring, clearly are relying on God, what's amazing to me is that they have an indelible mark of faith. Have you noticed that? It's like a modern tattoo. Now, I'm not advocating tattoos, so, you know, parents, don't get nervous here. What I'm saying is that when you watch somebody that goes through suffering or bad decisions or loss, and they act with patience and faith, it's an indelible mark on the people around them, on their family, on their workplace, on the culture. Do you realize, church, that if all of us act with endurance and patience, we could change this city? We could change this country. And it says right here, this is how you do it. Here's the remedy. Well, there's a third one, if you want to look, and it's verse 24. The writer says, let us consider how to stir one another up. In other words, some of us men, we just need another guy in our life to kind of, you know, to pump us up a little bit and to encourage us and to tell us the truth in our lives. And ladies, you need some ladies around you, not to agree with you, but to be honest with you and to tell you. Here's what the writer is saying, that you need to be committed to a gathering. You need to be committed to community. The reason why we tell you to come to church every week is not because God's taking attendance. You need to come to church together because you need it. You need it in your life so that there's people around you that can encourage you, because you might be suffering, you might experience some loss, and you might make a bad decision in your life. And the remedy for that is patience, and that happens through community in your life. Well, there's one more thing that the writer of Hebrews says. Patience comes by, here's the third one, patience comes by living with eternity in mind. Now, let me just tell you right up front, this is really hard, because some of us are trying to get through the day. I mean, we got kids to worry about, we got businesses to worry about, we've got, you know, our single friends to worry about, we've got all kinds of things to worry about, and sometimes we're not even thinking about next week, we can't even think about till tomorrow, right? But the writer of Hebrews is saying that if you want to be a person of patience, it's going to take you slowing down enough to live with eternity in mind. couple thoughts around that. If you look in verse 25, it says, encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, or the end, heaven drawing near, when Jesus comes back. A couple of motivators for me is this. I want to have eternity in mind by thinking about the fact that one day I'm going to have to give account for everything I do. I'm going to have to stand before God one day and give account. I'm going to have to stand before God and list out all the things that I've done. Fortunately, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, at the end of that conversation, it's not guilty. Come on in. That's pretty amazing. But that's a motivator for me to think through that I need to live with eternity in mind. Here's something else. I want to encourage you to make a decision now. At the end of your life, are there any words that you want people to describe you with? I have two of them, and I'm not going to tell you because they're mine. My wife knows them, and I don't think anybody else knows them. In fact, I have a necklace with both of those words on them, and I wear that all the time. Didn't happen to have it today, but I wear it all the time to remind me those two words I hope will describe me at the end of my life. And I think that's one of the ways that I can live with eternity in mind, because doing so helps me to be patient, because the two words that I have, that I've chosen, it won't happen tomorrow. It happens over a lifetime. It won't happen next week. It happens over a decade. And so we need to think through, how do we live with eternity in mind? So it's no wonder that the writer of Hebrews says this, therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Don't throw away your confidence, which has great reward at the end. Because church, it's endurance and patience. Say it with me, endurance and patience. Come on, you got to get this. Here we go. In all of our campuses, endurance and patience. Here's what's at risk. If you're a person that wants to know the risk factor, here's the risk. That if we don't live with these two, here's what's at risk. What's at risk is shrinking faith and you being ruined. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. Your faith will shrink and you'll be ruined. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be committed to endurance and patience. And here's the reason why. Because it is God's will that we have endurance and patience. Would you bow your heads with me? Chances are there might be some of you that feel like you're just exhausted. And you're like, I'm trying. And here's what I would say to you. Stop trying. Because you cannot endure it. It is God in you that does it. And today you might need healing. And you might need freedom. And what's interesting is that sometimes the conversations come back. You today might need, in all of our campuses, you might need to come up front at the end as people are kind of drifting off so that somebody can pray with you that you might again experience healing and freedom in your life, because we need to endure and be patient. Father, I pray that you would be with us. Thank you for this incredible passage in Hebrews. I pray that you'd help me, that you'd help us, that we would understand these two really important principles in our lives. In fact, you tell us they're your will. So may we live it out in a way that would make sense, so that we honor you. And Lord, as we read in the next chapter all these names, it motivates us, because Father, we too want to bring glory to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.